This was satisfactory. Both men presently fell to yawning, and Injun Joe said,
I'm dead for sleep. It's your turn to watch.
He curled down in the weeds and soon began to snore. His comrade stirred him once or twice, and he became quiet. Presently the watcher began to nod. His head drooped lower and lower. Both men began to snore now. The boys drew a long, grateful breath. Tom whispered,
Now's our chance. Come.
Huck said,
I can't. I'd die if they was to wake.
Tom urged. Huck held back. At last, Tom rose slowly and softly and started alone. But the first step he made wrung such a hideous creak from the crazy floor that he sank down almost dead with fright. He never made a second attempt. The boys lay there counting the dragging moments till it seemed to them that time must be done in eternity growing gray. And then they were grateful to note that at last the sun was setting. Now one snore ceased. Injun Joe sat up, stared around, smiled grimly upon his comrade, whose head was drooping upon his knees, stirred him up with his foot and said,
Here, you're a watchman, ain't you? All right, though. Nothing's happened.
My, have I been asleep?
Partly. Nearly time for us to be moving, pard. What'll we do with what little swag we've got left?
I don't know. Leave it here as we've always done, I reckon. No use to take it away till we start south. 650 in silver's something to carry.
Well, all right. It won't matter to come here again.
No. But I'd say come in the night as we used to do. It's better.
Yes, but look here. It may be a good while before I get the right chance at that job. Accidents might happen. Tain't in such a very good place. We'll just regularly bury it, and bury it deep.
Good idea, said the comrade, who walked across the room, knelt down, raised one of the rearward hearthstones, and took out a bag that jingled pleasantly.
He subtracted from it $20 or $30 for himself and as much for Injun Joe, and passed the bag to the latter, who was on his knees in the corner now, digging with his bowie knife. The boys forgot all their fears, all their miseries in an instant. With gloating eyes, they watched every movement. Luck, the splendor of it, was beyond all imagination. $600 was money enough to make half a dozen boys rich. Here was treasure hunting under the happiest auspices. There would not be any bothersome uncertainty as to where to dig. They nudged each other every moment, eloquent nudges, and easily understood, for they simply meant, Oh, but ain't you glad now we're here? Joe's knife struck upon something.
Hello,
said he.
What is it?
Said his comrade.
Half-rotten plank. No, it's a box, I believe. Here, bear a hand and we'll see what it's here for. Never mind. I've broke a hole.
He reached his hand in and drew it out.
Man, it's money.
The two men examined a handful of coins. They were gold. The boys above were as excited as themselves and as delighted. Joe's comrade said,
We'll make quick work of this. There's an old rusty pick over amongst the weeds in the corner, on the other side of the fireplace. I saw it a minute ago.
He ran and brought the boy's pick and shovel. Injun Joe took the pick, looked it over critically, shook his head, muttered something to himself, and then began to use it. The box was soon unearthed. It was not very large. It was iron-bound and had been very strong before the slow years had injured it. The men contemplated the treasure a while in blissful silence.
Pard, there's thousands of dollars here,
said Injun Joe.
'Twas always said that Murrell's gang used around here one summer,
the stranger observed.
I know it,
said Injun Joe.
And this looks like it, I should say.
Now you won't need to do that job,